Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Glosson, your wretched hostess with the mostest, sitting in today for Todd Friel. He's off doing something with the gospel somewhere, being faithful to God and growing the kingdom. And I'm just so glad to be filling in. Okay, who just spent that whole break not listening to Jimmy, but instead patting yourself on the back for not being a stoic emotion stuffer downer? Yes, I have a camera in your car. Just kidding. Seriously, if this was you, if you're like, great news, I'm not a stoic, all you got to do is go on my Instagram account or my Facebook page. Yes, I'm showing my age. Thank you very much. And you will see all my mile-long posts filled with me being vulnerable, bearing my soul, posting my emotions for all to see. Listen, I am an equal opportunity offender, so hold that thought. God's word has something to say to you too. So this whole focus on emotions and feelings, not a new topic. The Stoics are still with us today. You know those inspirational social media posts from your favorite influencers? Those guys that say, just ran 300 miles on a broken foot in the pouring rain, mind over matter. For us Christians, that drive to draw on self-sufficiency and inner strength, we might spiritualize it a little. If you just had enough faith, none of this would bother you. Sound familiar? Hey, guess what? That's not biblical, folks. That's just stoicism with the Jesus sticker slapped on it. But there's another extreme. There's the other side of the road, the other ditch, the extreme of emotional overindulgence or emotional overstatement or whatever you want to call it. It's the other side of the coin. The opposite of the Stoic view is that philosophy that says, let it all out. Prioritize your feelings over reason. Seek intentional emotional experiences. Some churches even propagate this. We should be seeking emotional experiences. And I'd argue that this, more than the Stoic view, is the more predominant perspective in today's world. This is really emotional overindulgence. Now, if you were to Google, what's the opposite of Stoicism? You'd probably land on hedonism. And that is another Greek philosophy. These folks said pleasure and immediate gratification, those are the primary goals. Not like the Stoics who said, avoid suffering at all costs. The hedonists were seeking pleasure and immediate gratification all the time. Pleasure itself becomes kind of a god in their life. These are the folks that say, you only live once. You know those adrenaline junkies, those experience junkies, those people who live for the rush, who live for the thrill, who want the highest, most intense emotion so they'll indulge in anything to get there? Now, most of us, I'm going to guess, are not base jumping off buildings on the weekends. So let's dial it down a notch and let's talk about what most of us actually do. Emotionalism. This is the mindset that says, listen to your heart, follow your heart. If that's how you feel, don't fight it, don't hide it. You can't help how you feel. This is how God wired you. You should let the world know. And those who buy into this approach, oh man, they just let it all hang out. You know, those people who are transparent and vulnerable that allow their feelings to rule the day and maybe even dominate conversations and definitely fill their social media feeds. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that feeling, that emotions are wrong, or that sharing what you're feeling is sinful, or that you should just bottle it all up. In fact, Romans 12, Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So that's biblical. But what I'm talking about here is indulgence in emotions and a public display of every feeling. Okay, who has watched a football game or a baseball game where the camera suddenly catches a scantily clad or maybe not clad at all human being who has maybe had a little too much to drink that decides to run across the field. So I would say that emotional exhibitionism is the new streaking, because here's the problem. When we let it all hang out, when we are those people who make a career out of publicly displaying every raw personal feeling and experience, this is the opposite of what the Bible calls us to as well. So maybe it's a fight with your spouse, or you've lost a child or a family member, or you're dealing with a traumatic memory, or even the actual birth of a child. And I'm not just talking about the announcement here, but those play-by-play along with photographic evidence, posting it for all the world to see, pictures, long commentaries, you name it. Okay, maybe you're not on Facebook, but you spend hours on the phone venting to your mom or your sister about your husband's behavior. Or maybe you're the dude that goes out with his buddies on the weekend and it's just a gripe about our wives session. Or maybe you're the one at every Bible study with a litany of all the ways that God has gifted you or blessed you in the past week. You know, your part takes 15 minutes and everybody else gets 2 minutes. All of these things are emotional exhibitionism. So why do we do this? Why, when we go through hard things or super exciting things, why do we just put it on display? Well, that's pretty easy. We want people to know. That's why you're posting the pictures and the detailed play-by-play. And that in and of itself isn't the problem. Again, we come back to the heart. Why do we want people to know? Hey, if it's to genuinely rejoice with those who rejoice or to weep with those who weep, that's awesome. That's great. But let's be honest, that's usually not the case. Emotional exhibitionism is fueled by the idolatry of self. Laying it all out there emotionally makes it all about you. Your goal is to be seen, to be heard, to collect a following, to get those clicks, you know, those views, those affirmations. And what ends up happening is a sinful engagement with gossip and ranting and painting yourself as the eternal victim, or even drawing attention to your own amazingness while playing up the unamazingness of others. The bottom line is, this is all really self-serving. It's self-focused. And it's a view of our emotions that makes the world revolve around us. And it's the exact opposite of what the Bible calls us to do with our emotions. Okay, so what? Here's my point. When we talk about physical exhibitionism, we all know what to do with that, right? That guy streaking across the football field, we want the police officers to run out, tackle him, and cover him up with a blanket. Modesty. 1 Timothy 2:9 says women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. And gentlemen, lest you think that the Bible has nothing to say about your modesty, check Deuteronomy 22:5. A man should not put on women's clothing, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. So that's all of us, men, women, children, young adults. We are to reflect our heart for God in the clothes we wear. And in the way we wear our clothes. Our love for God should result in choices that are consistent with Christian character. So we dress decently. We remember that God gave us clothing to cover us, not to draw attention to ourselves. And we practice moderation in what we own and how much we spend. Those aspects of modesty kind of come pretty easily to us. We can see them clearly, but that's not all that modesty is. And you know, when we're thinking about being Christians and being modest and what that looks and looks like in a much broader context than just what we wear, think about it in light of Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Because real Christians, we should love to fade into the background. We should love serving the needs of others and giving Jesus the center stage that he already actually occupies. When we live a modest, a nondescript life and allow others to be counted more significant than ourselves, this is such an awesome way to live out our modesty for the glory of God. And speaking of that, Who remembers what it was like before social media gave us this public platform to air all our dirty laundry or our clean laundry for that matter? I know the good old days only seem like they were that good. But seriously, there's something to be said for keeping the private things private. We know you love your husband and that tomorrow is his birthday and you really want him to know how much you love him. But three paragraphs of how he is God's gift to mankind, the kindest, gentlest man alive of this decade and chief bottle washer and everything else. I mean, maybe he really is that great, but most of that sentiment should be kept between the two of you. Unless you're posting it for some other reason, those things are way more impactful if they're kept private. I was reading this article this week from the Wall Street Journal. The article is called The Age of Emotional Overstatement by Caitlin Macy. And she says it so well. She says, there's something about today's emotional exhibitionism that makes one long for a more restrained time, whether real or fictional, when love came up in conversation once every 25 years or so. As the great works make clear, the act of discretion around intimate relationships is how one honors these relationships. You explicitly don't put on a PDA parade because they're too important, too deep, too private. So discretion equals modesty, and modesty equals discretion. You are honoring your wife, your husband, your child, your friend, and your God when you recognize that public display of private matters is not appropriate. And you act with modesty in these moments. Are you checking your heart yet?
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreitz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God.
God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, 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 you are letting it all hang out over there and we can't have that happening. No, I am not practicing my speech for spring break in Destin. We are talking emotionalism and how unchecked feelings can lead to emotional exhibitionism, where we find ourselves not only being emotionally overindulgent, but also exposing all our emotions for everyone to see. Here's what's funny. As Christians, we seem to easily grasp the call to physical modesty, as we talked about Paul outlining for Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:9, but we completely miss the implications for our emotions. We get that we're supposed to reflect our heart for God in our clothing and the way we wear it, and that our love for God should result in choices that are becoming of people who are followers of Christ. We got to dress decently. We got to remember that God gave us clothing to cover, not to draw attention to our bodies or to provoke attention from the opposite sex. And we got to practice moderation. We seem to understand what modesty means when it comes to stuff, too. We don't go around talking about what we have, boasting about our toys, our bank balances, our perfectly sculpted six-pack abs. But that's not all that modesty is. We know what God says about our outward appearance and our hearts, don't we? It's our hearts he cares about. Y'all know that's what Scripture says. Listen, there's nothing inherently wrong with our bodies, just like there's nothing inherently wrong with our emotions. We're image bearers of God in our physical selves and in our emotions. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And just one chapter later, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Conclusion, we don't go running around town in crop tops and short shorts because we want to honor God. How? By saving our bodies for our spouse and loving others well by not being a source of temptation. And if you're married, listen, there's things that are absolutely okay to wear or not wear in front of your spouse, but not in front of anyone else. Same with emotions. How so, you might be asking? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Just like with clothing, you've got to understand our love for God should result in respectable choices when it comes to displaying our emotions. Is how you express your feelings consistent with Christian character? Modesty means that we're guarding ourselves from emotional indecency. Ooh, that's strong, isn't it? Check yourself. Are you posting that picture or story to draw attention to yourself? The Bible teaches that modesty is an essential aspect of the Christian life. Both outward and inward modesty are important because we're supposed to be modest even in our attitudes. Modesty is an attitude of humility. We're actively and intentionally avoiding exalting ourselves and making it all about us. It's about living in freedom from sin and walking in a way that's worthy of being a child of God. We're also called to be modest in heart. Having a God-focused heart, being concerned about how Christ is seen in us, being humble and pure and working hard not to glorify ourselves or advertise ourselves. Here's a big one. It's also about growing up and acting like an adult. Caitlin Macy again, in her article, Wall Street Journal. She's talking about a professor who once said to her, "Sometimes less is more." And she goes on to say, "His remark stayed with me, not solely as the mother of all writing tips, but the essence of adulthood. I suddenly grasped we've got to internalize understatement. It means subliminating one's raw emotional insides to something drier on the outside, something more even-tempered and hence more sophisticated. To put aside childish things, one had to ditch not only the tantrums of the toddler years, but the gushing of the early teens. And she then goes on to describe those emotion-filled 3-mile-long social media posts, and she likens them to teenage Instagram posts, flaunting and exaggerating and making grandiose claims. And she says if we do this, we should essentially be categorized as hyperbolic adolescents. Woo, that's strong. Rather than taking a step toward becoming an adult capable of seeing one's own life in a broader context. And this is coming from a platform that is in no way Christian or biblical in scope. Wall Street Journal. This is a big problem. It's not honoring to God to just put every feeling you have out there on display. Remember, you're supposed to be honoring God in all things. So is what you're saying or posting pointing people to Christ or to you, to your suffering, your sadness? It's also so disrespectful of your spouse to post every nitty-gritty detail of the argument you had last night or your frustration with your spouse for leaving his shoes in the middle of the living room, or even sharing that with your Bible study group on a regular basis. That stuff, it's between you and him. It's between you and her, guys. Maybe it's a family situation, a loss, a struggle, a relationship issue. Keep it in the family. That's where those emotions belong. In the Bible, modesty is a way of life that involves both the heart and the body. And it's more than just how we dress. Really, you could be technically a modest person, but have a conceited, prideful heart that's seeking attention. So modest on the outside, but immodest on the inside. Again, ask yourself, why am I sharing these emotions with others? Am I determined to get noticed? Am I trying to get sympathy? Am I trying to get accolades for being so brave to share the depth of my emotions with a huge audience? That, my friend, is actually the opposite of modesty. It's pride. Romans 13:14 says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." If you're a true follower of Jesus, you know he is the big deal. He deserves center stage, not us, and definitely not our emotions. We have to live out what 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12 says, to live quietly, to mind our own affairs so that we can walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. One last thought on emotional modesty and what God has to say about what his people should be wearing, what we should clothe ourselves with. 1 Peter 3:3 through 4 talks about our adornment, that our adornment should be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Of course, he's talking to women there. But then Paul in Colossians 3:12 says, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." So what are you clothing yourself with when it comes to your emotions? It's pretty clear that God's not talking just about the fabric we put on our bodies. And let me just say this, I know this is not easy stuff to talk about. It's not easy stuff to hear. So let me encourage you. If you're recognizing yourself as we're talking today, don't lose heart. I'm recognizing myself too. This is what sanctification is all about. Have you ever considered that your emotions are part of the sanctification process? I think a lot of times we relegate sanctification, that process where God's making us more and more Christ-like after we come to saving faith. We put that in the big sin issues category, but we never think this could apply to our feelings, our emotions, and how we express them. Part of God's redemptive process is God putting things back into alignment. He's recreating us in the image of Christ. Romans 8:29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." And then 2 Corinthians 3:18, And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In redemption, God is putting things back into alignment. He's recreating us in the image of Christ. And this process of recreation, it entails every part of our humanity. Our minds are being renewed, our wills are being brought into conformity with God's will, and our emotions are being reconstructed, renewed, realigned, reoriented on God and His Word. And it's a process. Hey, if you find the fast forward button for the process of progressive sanctification, will you please forward that to me? Be patient, friends. Be patient with yourselves and with others. So as you go about your week, ask yourself, am I practicing emotional modesty? Am I clothing myself with Christ? Am I pointing people to Him or to me? Let's be people who reflect the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, who live out humility and modesty, not in just what we wear, but in how we feel and express those feelings. And until next time, go serve your King.